Hey guys, welcome to the Fieldcraft Survival Podcast. I'm your host for this advertising space, and I want to thank our sponsors that make this podcast totally possible. The first sponsor is Sig Sauer. Guys, Sig is an awesome company. I'm a Sig nerd when it comes to their products. I'm a Sig junkie when it comes to training at the Sig Sauer Academy. There's always a Sig project that I want to kind of mess around with. And my current Sig project, in case you're interested, is building up a Sig 220 pistol that I should be able to acquire pretty soon from some department trade-ins a couple towns over from my hometown. Put on a threaded barrel for that guy and then attach my SRD 45 suppressor, which is made by Sig, to that pistol. And that will be my dedicated 45 ACP suppressor pistol. So I don't know. Like I said, I'm a nerd. I built up a lot of different things over the years, plugging and playing with the 320 and the 365 and the Sig Tread pistol and the MPX, which, by the way, the MPX is probably the most fun firearm you will ever shoot, just because the trigger is super, super fine, very little recoil. And, you know, people joke and they say that the MPX is the MP5 killer, and I'm not surprised. Guys, Sig Sauer is one of those companies, like I said, they have products, they have training. Please check out the Sig Sauer Academy. There are a lot of good folks that train up there. I've had incredible opportunities to train with Sig. Bullets on Vehicles is one of my favorite classes. The 3-day Introduction to Long Range or Precision Scope Rifle, that's a great class. The Defensive Shotgun class is awesome. You know, a lot of people poo-poo the shotgun, and the instructors up at Sig, they know how to run a gun. And when you are, you know, using the combination of a shotgun and a pistol, and, you know, you're getting a chance to work around barriers. And I mean, it's just a fun class playing with the pig. So please check out Sig Sauer. Please check out Sig Sauer Academy. They are solid, solid people, great company, and we're proud to be affiliated with them. There is another company we want to recognize, and that is Vertex. Guys, there is a discount code that I want to alert you to, and that's 20% off using the code, get this, ready? Really original? Fieldcraft. That's FIELDCRAFT. Fieldcraft will get you 20% off of the Vertex website. And Vertex is a company that we've partnered up with over the past couple of years. They've attended a couple of our trade shows. I know a bunch of the guys here have Vertex bags. You know, I've worn Vertex pants for a while. You know, I'm more familiar with their apparel than their bags, but I'll tell you that their pants, when I did a TV pilot show for the History Channel in 2016, I wore a pair of their pants through the desert and 25 miles through all sorts of nasty stuff. Their pants was, I put all this like pine resin inside my pant pockets. I still have those pants to this day with that resin in there. Those pants are going on 6 years now, and they're badass. They're great, great for training. So the interesting thing with Vertex, in addition to getting 20% off of your order, you can pay attention to their site, because maybe, and I'm saying maybe, but I really mean definitely, we'll be launching an updated version of our Recce shirt. We had it a Generation 1 Recce shirt. It was really, really popular. It's my favorite travel shirt to this day, right? There are buttons on it instead of, or snap buttons instead of just like regular buttons. And it's just a really comfortable shirt. Well, I've seen the prototype of the one that Vertex is doing, and it's great. So pay attention. It's coming up. That's going to be the new Recce shirt from Vertex. Again, 20% off of their site with the code Fieldcraft. And their site is www.vertex. That's VERTX.com. All right, guys, here we go. Let's get to this podcast.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Fieldcraft Survival Podcast. I am your host for today's episode. This is Amber L. If you don't know who I am, I'm the Director of Family Preparedness here at Fieldcraft Survival. And today I have the honor of speaking with the beautiful and lovely Miss Amy Cordy.
Hey, Amber.
Did I say that correctly?
Yes, you did.
Okay. You know, in the South, everybody has really specific names that they take pride in. And so I'm always slightly afraid that I'm going to say somebody's name different, maybe put a little Southern twist on it where there shouldn't be one.
No,
Southern's definitely a hesitation.
Okay. That's okay. It's pretty phonetic, so you're good to go.
Good. Okay, Amy, start by telling us a little bit about yourself, and then we will dive into discussion about our women's curriculum, which is what you are going to be part of now. And I'm so excited about it. But first, start by telling us more about yourself, your story, what you're doing in life.
Yeah. So I reside in Northern Virginia, which is just a little bit out, probably about an hour outside our nation's capital. It's a little bit more rural. It's certainly, we've just moved out in December a little bit further out to get away from all of the craziness. My husband and three daughters and I. So they are oldest is six on down to, our oldest is nine, six, and just turned four. So I teach them at home. And then my husband and I own a couple small businesses and have just in terms of, you know, firearm training and all of that, it's really been a passion of mine for women specifically over the last, I would say, 4 years or so. So yeah, I took the Fieldcraft course for women a couple years ago now, and it was amazing. So yeah, that's me.
Tell us about your businesses.
Yeah, they are all over the place, Amber. One, the primary one is like social media, video, and photo marketing for cars, for vehicles. So it's super niche. I do all of the kind of back end boring stuff. I do not shoot photo or video these days because little kids, but that is what our team does. And then I have a small floral design business. So I do weddings and kind of grow. I grow a lot of stuff, kind of started as a passion for growing and then kind of moved into floral design. So we're like, if you want to talk about like multi-passionate, that is what I feel most days. All of the things I want to do really, really well. And, you know, you just gotta, there's no balance. You just gotta pick whatever each day's priorities are. So, yeah.
I love that. So I had the honor of meeting you at the first women's course that we ran out in Aberdeen, North Carolina. That was in the fall of 2021. And it was, we had brought the women's course out from Heber, where it had originally been stationed, and decided to run it on the East Coast. And it was such a great opportunity to reach the community of women who lived on the East Coast. I think you drove down. There were so many people who could drive just because of proximity and access. And I remember running you through that course and watching you in the various scenarios we had and just thinking, I want to be this girl's friend. She's so capable and confident. And I love the way that you encouraged and spoke to all of the other women. And you're a homeschool mom yourself. And so I have had so much fun watching you on social media since then. And I've had opportunities to watch you speak in a public setting. I've seen you do videos promoting your town and different endeavors like that. And so when our new training director, Casey, came to me and said, I love this women's course. He came out to Utah and he watched us run the course out in Heber. We did it again in March. The first time it's been back in Utah in over a year and a half. He was like, this women's course is incredible. And Casey loves anything that has to do with empowering women, right? He's there's little daughters in his home and he has a wife who is very much just like us, very energetic and very social and wants to be part of the growing, this growing world, but wants to do it in a way that's very empowered and safe. And so it has a special place in his heart. So he got to see the course in action and he was like, there's so much passion that's gone into creating this course and maintaining it. Is there anybody that you have in mind to help bring on as we navigate forward with running this course in the various places around the U.S. where it's run now? And so I was like, I have the perfect girl. I don't know if she's going to say yes, but we're going to reach out to her. She's an alumni of the course, which I think is perfect. But there's so many important components to this course that have to be maintained mm-hmm. that speak to women and how fear manifests in their physiological body and their psychological mind and how to work through the nuances of that in order to feel confident and feel empowered. And I'm just so excited that you said yes. So you will be at our Nashville Women's Course, mm-hmm. which is happening at the end of April. And you will be running the education part of the curriculum in the beginning and then assisting Casey with the firearm component and the scenarios, which happen in the later part of the day. So How did I strike you off guard whenever I contacted you and asked you to be part of this?
I never could have imagined that that was what you were like. Hey, let's chat over the phone for just a couple minutes. You can totally say no, but you were just, I just thought of you. So I think it's amazing because the course itself, and I can speak to just the value of the course itself and how life-changing it was. Even with chatting with Casey over the phone, he was like, I think the scenarios are really, that's what it truly is, life-changing. And so it was for me, having a background. So I have a master's in clinical counseling that I completed in 2015 and then had babies, and it delayed. I worked in the field for about 4.5 years, but my focus was on like trauma. It was on, PTSD, it was on crisis management and all that stuff. So it really feels like, oh my goodness, like this is a total God thing, or just like an amazing, really cool opportunity that all these years later, what I was super passionate about then is coming kind of full circle and then in this unique opportunity. So I'm excited. I'm pumped.
I love that. And the mindset piece, regardless of what I've done over the last year, Program 62, which was our 12-week online course walking people through 12 weeks of a preparedness lifestyle and the application of that. I spoke at a Warrior Women's Hunt retreat in California. I spoke at an event out in Dallas for a group of women in the agricultural community, and the women's course. All of these, what they had in common was that I always began with mindset, mm-hmm. because I always feel as if I am doing the student and the learner a disservice if we do not start there, because so much of our belief system about the world around us and how we respond to that is tied to our experiences, our past experiences and our beliefs. And so our brain loves to fill in the gaps for us. And if we don't mm-hmm. realize that and we can't work through that cognitive process, we do not have the full capabilities to embody self-reliance and our own security in a way that safeguards us, as well as maybe the little children in our life, our family around us, and the community that we've been blessed with, because we are not effectively processing and working through that scenario. And through our own mindset and physiological response to a threat, and it affects everything. Your ability to utilize a weapon safely mm-hmm. and confidently, your ability to navigate the nuances of a circumstance, to notice deviations from baselines of normalcy in your situational awareness. And it all begins with that understanding of the brain. And so many women that come to our course have experienced some level of trauma in their life.
Yes.
And so it's so important for them to be able to process and work through that. And that's such a sensitive part of self-defense,
yes.
and protection of yourself in general. And it has to be navigated so carefully and conscientiously. And these women have to go through that education component where they understand the autonomic responses happening in the body. I have a bachelor's in nursing. And so understanding the neurological component of this is a place where I have always geeked out from the beginning. And you can probably say that with the subject matter of your master's degree mm-hmm. too. The brain is just the most powerful tool that we possess, you
yes.
know, the most powerful tool. Like in the women's curriculum, I have the slide that says that our safety is something that sits between our ears, yeah. not something that we hold in our hands. And that was something that Colonel Jeff Cooper said. And it's so true. And it all begins with the mind. And so I'm so excited
yeah.
that you get to be part of that. That's so fundamental. Before these women ever hold a SIM gun in their hand, before they get into the scenarios, they have to understand what they are going to feel in their body.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it feels like a bit of chaos.
Yeah.
Regardless of if you can pull off an efficient response or not, you feel chaos on the inside of your body because there's no compartment for you to put the feelings that are happening into. It just feels wrong because you are unfamiliar with what normal, quote unquote, normal is.
Yes.
And while those responses are autonomic, they are normal. They're what your body was meant to do. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. And I think it's so important to know that all of us will come into material like this with varying levels of experiences and backgrounds. And if there is trauma, attending to that and making it a safe place, I think, regardless of what our backgrounds or experiences are, and addressing the concerns that each woman in a course like this bring to the table is extremely important for that to be a safe, welcoming place where they can work through some of that even internally as they're processing the information that they're learning. And just the fact that it is empowering to know that regardless of that, our brains can be quite literally rewired. And so, there is work that can be done if, we talk about our F3 responses and things like that. We are not beholden and tied forever and ever and ever to whatever our response might have been in the past, or, however small or however big a frightening experience we might have had could have been. We're not tied to always and forever responding in that same way. And this class gives the tools to be able to do some of that work, which is just really cool and the really empowering, I think.
For sure. And I feel like as moms, especially homeschool moms, we are experts in organizing the chaos. And that's what I feel like fear is defined as in so many of these women that show up at the course. We have 18-year-olds who are in college. We have young adults who have no children. We have women in the middle of their child rearing years. And then we have older women who are grandmothers and aunts. And it's, we have so many facets of individuals from different demographics who are coming to this course. But what we are able to do well as the mother and as the women who are in the leadership position when it comes to educating them is to organize the chaos.
Yeah.
Because fear, while it feels chaotic, can be clearly defined.
Mm-hmm.
It shows up in multiple ways, and it shows up in the body in multiple different ways. However, we can define what those variations look like.
Yeah.
And we can template what that the physiological and the psychological response is for them. And so while the mindset part is the most underwhelming and unsexy, by the time they have that understanding of the brain and their body's response via the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems, they're more clearly able to define what their feelings are when we put them into scenario-based training, mm-hmm. when we put a simunition gun into their hand and they fire it for the first time, when we have to put them mentally in a place where we want their mind to be able to go so that their body can follow, it all falls into sync for them.
Yeah.
And I've never had a woman, we've put hundreds of women through this course. I have never had a woman say, I really wish we would have skipped over the brain part.
Right.
They were all just so grateful and so edifying about how essential that component was to the course.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting.
I think in the
what was your favorite part?
Oh my gosh. I honestly feel like though probably the most nerve-wracking, well, so the scenarios are what stick out in your mind because again, they're the most emotionally intense experience of the whole day where I don't think I'll ever forget some of the scenarios that we ran through. But I also think that I think the mindset piece, one of the reasons why it's so incredibly valuable is because I think that's where a lot of our concerns or the obstacles, the objections that we need to overcome as women lie, whether it's that we don't feel confident, getting started feels overwhelming. So we just don't, the mind can't move into action when we're stuck in overwhelm. And so I think that moving past that, equipping and giving tools for just taking the steps and with a simunition gun that isn't going to be, intimidating or scary or too tactical, which is, I think, a whole other piece of the conversation that we could have. Those things are really helpful from a mindset perspective. So I really loved that. the psychological component has always been super fascinating to me, but I think it's the scenarios when you're actually put in the situation where you have to understand and you have to be aware of what your body's automatically going to do. Whether you freeze or whether your mode is fight or whether you're, you know, it's terrifying. It really is, to think about doing this without the safety of the scenario. So.
Yeah. And originally we didn't do many of the scenarios in the original versions of these courses, but the guys were running what they called decision point courses at the time. And it was courses that were all scenario based, and they were having to reach that decision point where they made the decision to defend life. And there were so many components that go into what it is a person needs in order to reach that decision point with confidence mm-hmm. and with clarity. And so when the course got brought to North Carolina, that scenario aspect was very much included in it, became more than half of the course, because we saw that there was such value in placing women in these positions where they had to use the skills and information they had learned earlier in the day in order to reach their own decision points. And that includes their own personal moral convictions. Mm-hmm. That includes legal parameters. And so having to go over legal parameters, making women, helping them to understand the law. The law was written for civilians to live by and to understand. And so presenting that to them in a way that clarifies misconceptions and false narratives that have been created around the different parameters of the law and what it says about self-defense was really helpful. And instead of just throwing these women into scenarios with a ammunition gun, they now had the framework to understand what had to be included in a decision. And knowing that prior to the actual act of self-defense is by definition empowerment. Yeah. It giving you the capabilities to make that decision to the best of your ability and to the best of your knowledge.
Yeah.
And so that was a huge pivot point for the course. And so while it's shifted and taken on new faces over the years, which is what any good course does, right? It adjusts based on the feedback and what you see presented to you and the needs that arise in the community that you're teaching. These are all such valuable components that it now retains.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
What did you feel as a student was an overarching theme shared among the women that came to this course? Like, what were the initial feelings that you felt walking in, and how did those change throughout the course of the day?
That's a good question. I think, so a couple of different thoughts. I think going into it, the legalities piece of it, I think if you go in and you have a lot of questions, uncertainties about how that might play itself out. I think a lot of those questions arose during the course, but I also think, so there was that, but then I also think the sort of fear that we're overreacting that I felt, and I think was probably voiced by several different women in the course throughout the day. Like if you are considering what you might do and how you might respond in a situation that requires your attention, whether that's that you actually have to use your gun or not, to avoid a situation, or you know, just to be aware of the potential threat, of a possible threat presenting itself. There's, I think, we kind of worry that we might be overreacting, and that leads us to not trust the intuition that we have. And I think by the end of the day, there was a shift, at least in me, but I think sort of the mood overall, where you get to the end of the day and you're like, yeah, I worked through some of those major question marks in my head of whether I was overreacting, whether this response is appropriate in this scenario, whether my intuition can be trusted. And that's just a jump off point to coming home and then beginning to implement some of those things when you're out and about, whether you're with your kids or you're a single, you know, working woman or whatever the situation might be. So just a confidence in trusting yourself, I think, was clearly evident, at least in me, at least in me.
Yeah. And I think that that's a huge part as well of them going through that mindset component, is understanding their mind in enough of a capacity that they can then trust their brain. Mm-hmm. Because they've worked through the irrationality that we can sometimes have when we're interpreting our instincts and our response to a threat. And so whenever you learn to better interpret your brain, because you better understand your brain and the nuances of how you respond to a threat, you then gain the confidence in making a clear decision when you do have to make that decision. But yeah, I think that when we get to the legalities part, we've worked really hard to make that component very clear, because legalities change in some ways across the nation,
right?
You know, depending on what state you're in or what I'm going to say parish, because that's what we have here. County, what county? Louisiana has to do everything different.
Yeah.
What county, what area, if you're on a reservation or not, all of this can shift and change. Inner cities too, yeah. You know, that differentiates from rural areas in certain places. And so it's very important that we clearly define what all of the terminology of the legalities is. And then we give these women the tools and the workflows, literal physical handout workflows, to then go and seek the information that they can about their own residence and states where they often travel, or locations where they often travel, where they need to understand reciprocity, or where they need to understand how the law changes, and not just with firearms, but with self-defense in general.
Right.
And what they're allowed to do legally. And that goes into, regardless of what the argument is, that does go into your decision point criteria, because you are thinking about the rest of your life in certain capacities when you are thinking through the decision to save your life or save another person's life. Mm-hmm. That does become part of that criteria. And so when you understand, you know your boundaries, and you've worked through this, those scenarios by scenario-based training and by mental scripting of your life, sitting in your own thoughts, running through different situations that you could stumble upon in your day-to-day life, and what your skill sets and resources would be to navigate that, and what you would choose as your decision point. All of that is so critical to the self-defense. And so this course gives them the starting point for that. Now, how did you feel? Did you feel ready once you got to the firearm portion?
I mean, define ready, as in I was pretty anxious about it, to be honest. I definitely felt like I had a ton of things to think through. I think was because the morning portion gives you so many different considerations, whether that is, mm-hmm. like you mentioned, the like shoot, no shoot. Is this actually a threat? Is this an appropriate use of deadly force? Maybe not. You know, there are so many things that you're thinking through. You're more aware of even your own response, like what's happening in your own body and what you're feeling. And, you know, some of those automatic responses from your sympathetic nervous system response, which was all new to me because I might have a counseling background. I'm much less focused in that field on the neurobiological aspect of it. So that was also, I'm like aware of all these things as they're happening, and I'm like mm-hmm. kind of processing it. And then every scenario yields so much good feedback, which is, I think, what the other piece of it was. It's that you get the benefit of watching, you know, your fellow students go through it, each scenario, and you're learning from them as well. You're learning, you know, you can see that you would have made the same decision or a similar decision or a different decision, and you can hear the feedback from the instructors. That's really, really helpful all the way around. So yeah, I mean, I still felt super unprepared in terms of, wow, this is really happening. What would I do in real life? But prepared in the sense that, yeah, there are a whole lot of considerations that you were just briefed on that you can start thinking through.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Ketone IQ. Yeah, this is a mid-roll break. We're talking about Ketone IQ, a product I've been using for years now. It's made by HVMN. And it's a product that I've been using because I do have traumatic brain injury. I also have a little bit of fogginess, but it could benefit everybody because it gives you the same clarity you would get when you're in ketosis. That ketone ester puts you in that ketosis state of mental clarity, and it's like caffeine without the jitters. I love it. So if you're interested in Ketone IQ, go ahead and go to HVMN. That's HotelVictorMN.com. That's Hotel Victor Mike November. HVMN.com and use Fieldcraft, one word, to save 15%. Again, go to HVMN.com and save 15% off with the code Fieldcraft. Now back to the podcast.
What I love is that starting with mindset and situational awareness breaks everyone down to a fundamental level, regardless of their firearm experience. And so even people who grew up shooting guns, you know, there's so many women who show up at the course and they're like, yeah, I've grown up shooting guns. I shoot with my dad or my husband or my boyfriend at the range all the time. Mm-hmm. This isn't a shooting gun course.
Right.
This is a practical application to your self-defense course. And so everybody gets broken back down. And then not in a negative connotation, right. But and then built back up. And so the framework is all structured there for when they get put into scenarios where they can use their firearms. They will shoot at an actual bad guy with an actual gun. Mm-hmm. Granted, you're shooting semi-munition rounds, so it's like paint rounds that are non-lethal and non-toxic. And so it's a safe environment. The person that you're shooting at is in full protective gear, which is really funny because these women are on the brink of shooting the second the person in the blower suit walks out, and we're like, okay, precursor, the blower suit is not hostile intent. So right. Let's just pretend this guy is walking down the street in his basic everyday clothing. When the guys that were helping out as our role players, when you took the course in North Carolina, had just come through the Q course out there in Fort Bragg. Didn't they just rename it?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Fort Liberty or...
Oh, no. I think that was on the... It's coming.
I'm giving incorrect information.
No, I did hear something
We need to figure out the real name. But yes, I believe it's getting changed. So they were tough guys, okay? They just made it through training. But one of the guys, like, he every time refused to wear the blower suit. He'd wear a jean jacket and he'd wear the helmet to protect his face. And he was always full of whelps by the time that course was over. But I was like, I love it. You just look like a normal bad guy with a motorcycle helmet on walking up to these women.
He might have looked scarier, than the blower suit. Yeah. Because
because he wasn't in a blower suit. You're like, what type of monster are you?
Yeah. Impervious to this.
Right. But, that was what I loved, is that the brain is the equalizer. And so it didn't matter what level of experience these women had. They got to break everything back down to fundamental levels, build it back up. Because here's the thing. We hope you never have to use your self-defense in that capacity, in this very aggressive, very physical capacity. We would love for women to be so situationally aware that they can evade threatening situations, that they could spot danger before it spots them, like Gary Questenberry says, that's the title of his books. That's the goal.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's such an important criteria for coming into the course, is the understanding of that. This is not a marksmanship course.
Right.
This is to make you capable and ready to utilize a firearm. But there are so many things that go into that self-defense. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, are you even going to be able to fully prepare with the proper stance prior to defending your life? Is your grip going to be exactly the way you want it? Are you able to go to your front sights?
Right.
Do you have time for that? Or are you learning how to be safe and how to pay attention peripherally to what's around you and behind you, because you know that you will most likely be in close proximity to this bad guy to defend your life, and that you are drawing and you are aiming safely, and that you are ensuring that no one is in a danger zone behind or around you before you take that shot. These are all much more realistic components of your self-defense, is making you capable and safe to defend your life, but to also protect the life of the innocents of people around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I think the mindset piece really begins with there. So like walking, the course walks students through the process of what is involved in being situationally aware. Cause it sounds much more simple than it is, but there are so many different, like the things that you just mentioned, and the lack of a situationally aware mindset is much more common around us. And so going through something like this, and that then is, it's really just the beginning of you then going back home and beginning to think through wherever you are, the mental scripts piece, like you mentioned, where are the places that you frequent? Who are you with? Are you with your kids? Are you by yourself? Are you with your partner? You know, are you alone? Thinking through, it's not the norm to be aware of what's going on around us in our culture. It's really not. I watched a gal pull out of a parking lot in Target, a couple months ago, and she was parked right next to the shopping cart corral. And I was walking into the store. She just nailed the side of her car with the shopping cart corral, like metal on metal, just all the way down. And I looked to see in her side mirror kind of what her response would be. Like, she didn't even know. She had no idea. But that is how, you know, it's a mindset shift that begins, that you begin to incorporate, where you're thinking through who's around me, what are my baselines, what is normal, what is not normal, are there people that fall into that, what would I do, you know, what do I need to communicate to my kids if that's the situation I'm in. This class is, it's a jump off point to begin a mindset shift that I don't think you'll ever be rid of, honestly.
Right. It's a launch point, 100%. And our hope and desire was always that women come for like a gunfighter course or a pistol course, which the name of that course sounds so aggressive, but it is self-defense using your firearm and learning more skills in the marksmanship component.
And that comes after.
There's no way to do all of it in a day. But I also, the vision and the heart behind this course was, I need women to feel equipped to defend themselves after coming through this course. Because let's be realistic about the average woman who is going to take time and resources to get to these courses. It's most likely not going to be in her backyard, so she's going to have to get herself to this course. That may involve getting on a plane. That may involve taking a long drive, a day away from the children if you're with the children. Mm-hmm. We've had so many moms have to go in a side room and pump milk because they're breastfeeding when they're at the course. And I get it. And I know you get it. We've been there. We know the fears these women face. And we know the reality of how difficult it is to take that time and put it aside for something like this, for something like a class that doesn't sound like a spa treatment. Right. It's time away from your house that is going to be and feel uncomfortable.
Right.
That is going to be the feeling you feel when you walk in the room. You're going to be nervous, most likely, hesitant, apprehensive, unsure of what to expect, because so much about this is in some ways a polarizing taboo topic, right? Yeah. How dare you want to defend yourself in this capacity? That's what XYZ is for.
Yeah.
And so it takes a lot for these women to show up. Do I think in 2 months they'll show up for another course? That would be amazing if they did. But I don't think that's the reality of the majority of women who come to the course, unless they're in close proximity to where these courses are taking place regularly. It's also a financial expenditure for them to get there and take time out to do this for themselves. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, I wanted them to walk away from this course feeling like they had gained so much in one day without there being so many lingering question marks.
Yeah.
So to bring them in for just a quote unquote range day where they were just on a line shooting a gun was not going to accomplish that.
No.
And anybody could argue and there's argue that it would, but I mean, it is, there is a sound justification for why it is not.
Right.
Because your self-defense begins with your awareness and with your understanding of the capacity of your mind to serve as your most lethal asset and weapon to avoid the circumstances of that aspect of self-defense. Like I said before, my hope with that course is that you become so profoundly secure and conscientious and efficient with your basic understanding of baselines of normalcy,
right,
situational awareness, and human behavior, that you never have to draw a firearm in your life.
Right.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
You know? And so I just love that this course does that by going over the mindset, teaching firearm safety. You know, it's logistic. It's very technical. Firearm safety, it's repetition, and it's just understanding the basic components of a gun and the basic safety protocols that need to be followed to protect yourself and protect those that are in your vicinity, to use a weapon responsibly and safely. And yes, there needs to be practice, 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 repetition. You're going to lose your fine motor skills and your manual dexterity when you go into that sympathetic state. Your blood is shunted from your extremities to your vital organs, because that's what your body does to protect you, right, to prepare you for fight, flight, or freeze, mostly fight or flight. Mm-hmm. And so those skill sets have to be in place. The repetition and the muscle memory have to be in place very well before that moment of actually feeling the fear and the physiological symptoms of the presence of a threat. Mm-hmm. And so getting women to that point, teaching them the basics of firearm safety, which Casey and his team do an incredible job at. They're so skilled with weapons and training women. I love how sensitive they are to training women. It's not like you're showing up to a course and it's built for men, but we slapped a women's title on it.
Right.
It's for women and the nuances of women, mm-hmm. You know, and Casey's so funny when he talks about it, because he's talking about like raising your shirt as you're going to clear your lower abdomen in order to pull your firearm and to move that fabric away. And he's like, okay, you know, there's like women have breasts. And so there are some issues that we're going to face in being able to get full clearance here. And so he's really had to navigate that. And it's been really fun to watch and him be like, okay, like this is very, women are as very specific, have very specific needs when it comes to their self-defense. And so being able to articulate our understanding of these different varying nuances that make women's self-defense different and navigate those is great when it comes to the firearm portion. And then after that comes the scenario training. So in a few sentences, can you sum up what the scenario-based training looks like?
Yeah. So it's going to involve your, after having gone over the basic safety rules and really what to expect and how to get the most out of it, because I think there is you'll get out what you put in, I guess, is the first thing that I would say. But it's going to be, and when we were there, we had a shoot house as well as a vehicle and some open area. So there were three major, situations that we were working through and kind of rotating through. So, the Blauer suit, if for those who haven't seen it before, is a big black suit that offers all the protection and makes your assailant seem much bigger and scarier than they already might, which I will also say that the particular training I took, they already looked big and scary, like before they had any stuff on. So really it's, you have the feedback, you have a scenario that's worked through and it's going to be different every time. And then you figure out how to respond appropriately, whether that is, do I shoot? Do I not shoot? How hard? I mean, it can get physical. I mean, if I can say that, like there was one point where I was pushed back into the shoot house wall by the guy in the blower suit, and he's going, hit me harder. Like he's, this is like the real, and I was caught off guard. Like you, it wasn't made as real to me as it should have been in that particular scenario. It was like, yeah, no, actually, what would I do? I'd fight for my life. Mm-hmm. If this actually happened, fight for your life. You'll get the most out of it. And then the feedback afterward, this is a lot more than just a few sentences, but it's okay. The feedback afterward is what's really valuable. Because then you're walking through, why did you make that decision? What was your justification for pulling that trigger? What would you articulate? How would you articulate that you feared for your life? All of those conversations, which again, go back to the legality piece of it as well. So it's super valuable.
Yeah. So we do make sure that if women do not want to have any type of physical contact, they tell us ahead of time. And so it really depends on the role player and to someone's level of experience and how intense they want the situation to get. But it will never be done in a way where the student is injured or harmed whatsoever. A lot of times you have to create space in order to be able to employ self-defense.
Yeah.
And so getting that person close to you gives you the ability to showcase how you are going to create space and the necessity of that, of creating that distance, pushing them off of you, getting back in order to be able to get a proper draw and take a proper shot and have clearance on that firearm and allowing that mechanism of action to happen in a way where it's not going to be impaired by fabric or another person's physical body. And so much of that is important. Teaching women how to work through malfunctions that may happen in the firearm, that's been really helpful and important too. And women do it so well once they've been taught. Women are very intuitive, instinctive, and they can remember things that they've been taught really well. They're able to have a lot of continuity in the thought process between understanding and processing the human emotions and then the actual tactical component of it. And so where women think that they fail and they're weak, so much of it is actually to their strength. And so it's just teaching them how to use that to their advantage. But the scenario-based training is incredible. And depending on the location that we have, you know, we have access to different resources in different locations, but we can pretty much run them all run scenarios regardless of how extensive our shoot house is or if we're just in a warehouse like we do at headquarters in Utah. Excuse me. But it really, the experience comes from being put in that scenario. And I can speak to that watching these scenarios take place in a variety of locations is every woman is thrilled. This is her favorite part. Once we get to this, they're like, can we have a whole day? Can we do another session of this and have a whole day? Which we've had discussions about this. Should we make this a 2-day course where we do all of this with an introduction to scenarios in one day and some medical skills too? We do include medical teaching instruction. Very basic, but if we're teaching you how to defend life, we also need to teach you how to save life in the most vital ways. So tourniquet usage, chest seals, cavitation wounds, things like that. Very quick overview of that. It takes about 20 minutes, but women love that part because they get to practice, they get to use these tools, and they feel like, okay, well, if something did go awry or something, I was injured, I have the capacity now to understand how to navigate that situation as well. But the scenarios, they just, your heart's racing. It's very emotional. In the last course that we ran in Utah, we have a side-by-side, we have a Polaris, and we pretended like it was a vehicle and the mom was stuck in traffic. I'm going to like spoiler alert, give away one of the scenarios we ran that day, but I was her child in the back seat. And so someone comes to the door and is trying to get into the vehicle, beating on the door, trying to get inside. And I am in the back seat screaming. Yeah. And look, I like to play a part. So the girl handled it beautifully because she's trying, she's like, has one hand in the back seat over me, telling me to calm down and stay in the back. I'm losing my mind because this person's trying to break in and hurt my mom. And she's also trying to manage the threat that's happening in front of her. And after that scenario, all the women were like, okay, that was very emotional for me, like inserting another player into the game.
Yes.
And hearing her scream, "Mom, help, Mom." Look, I was getting into it too. Yes. I convinced myself that I was a scared child. And so it just invites them to think so much more through the process of, especially if they're moms, yes, like, oh, okay, so I've done all this work to empower myself, but do my kids know how to respond in a case where I may need to be 100% focused on the threat and I really need them to trust that that's my duty and my job, or are they going to be making it worse?
Right.
And then that leads them to have conversations, right, with their family and to start doing scenarios with their family. And that's what I do. I'm the director of family preparedness. You know, that's my role. And that's like my hope and my dream is that families equip themselves together and rise, yes, together. Even when it's women, this girl didn't even have a child, but she was like, okay, you know, there are children in my life. Yes. Like I babysit and there's nieces and nephews, or, you know, what if I was out for a jog and this was happening? There was a threat present at a park or something where I came upon and there were other children there. Have I thought through how to be a leader?
Right.
Regardless of how meek or quiet or petite you are. Can you find the leadership skills within you to rise up and take control of a situation to defend life, right, regardless of if it's yours or someone else's? And so it really gets them into that thought process of okay, I am capable of being a leader.
Yes.
Now, what's my next step? You know? And so I just love it. The 18-year-olds and the 70-year-olds in the middle of scenarios are like little kids in a theater with popcorn. We need to start bringing a popcorn machine to these classes and just hand it out when we're doing scenarios, because everybody's like chewing their fingernails. Yeah. We just need like some music going in, some pump-up music going in the background, because they're all stomping their feet and bouncing around. And being challenged creates camaraderie in a way that only people who have competed in competitive sports, yeah, can appreciate, I think, really. And so by the end of that day, it doesn't matter. Like, there's no shame in being new. There's no shame in making mistakes. We're all learners.
Yeah.
And like I said, we've broken ourselves back down to build everybody back up. The brain is the equalizer. And so everybody is on the same playing field once we start scenarios, and everybody is each other's cheerleader.
Yeah.
Because how can you not? We're doing this to be safer individuals and to be responsible citizens and create a safer world. Well, that's what we're doing this for.
Right. Well, and there's thinking outside the box. By the end of the day, you could see there's some hesitance. You could see there's some discomfort, some anxiety. By the end of that afternoon, I think, and you probably remember this scenario, it was a multiplayer scenario. We'll just put it that way. And there was it wasn't even her scenario, but she was a player in that specific, I don't want to give away too much, but she just tackled the guy. I mean, she just out of nowhere. Yeah. And you know, you're thinking like, gosh, would I have done that in this scenario? She was thinking outside the box, and we are all on the same team, and this is survival. And it was just really cool to watch that, like that solution, her solution to that, to help out her fellow woman was just, yeah, it was really great to watch.
She was running on instinct.
She was, and trusted it fully.
It was great. It was great. So I'm super excited about this course going to Nashville. I have, especially in the last month, I've had a lot of women reach out in the Nashville area saying, you know, this has been on the forefront of my mind, but I've never taken the actual steps to learn self-defense, and I want to do it. I'm signing up for this course. I'm going to be at this course. And so there's no time like the present to just go for it,
yeah,
to just put yourself in an uncomfortable situation for a moment so that you can soar. And the women walk out of that class. I relate it to the feeling you get when you finally get out of your ice bath, when you're doing a cold plunge and you get out and you're like, wow, that was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like this, it actually sucks.
Yeah.
And it's like childbirth or breastfeeding. I don't care who tells you, like it is, it's magical. There are components of it that are magical, but it is hard as hell.
Right.
And there is nothing to make it easier. You can breathe through it. You can be as knowledgeable about it as you want. But in that moment, it's not a spot experience.
Right.
You're doing something uncomfortable. It is for a massive benefit, and it's, yeah, worth it. And there's so much empowerment and beauty in that. But it's what's Elizabeth
Katie
Gilbert.
Stanton.
Is that her name?
Yeah.
Elizabeth, yes, she calls it brutiful. It's brutiful.
I love that.
It is. The ice bath is brutiful. It's cold. It doesn't get easier. Your mind gets stronger and your capabilities and skill sets grow. Right. And so when you realize the benefit that lies on the other side, it makes it so much easier to put yourself into an uncomfortable situation.
Right. Because you see the value.
And we all know that what we desire in life is waiting on the other side of our comfort zone.
Yep.
And so it's much like that. It is uncomfortable. A lot of it is new. But even the women who were the most hesitant, I've had women message me in tears telling me, like, I am sobbing right now. Mm-hmm. I signed up, but I'm sobbing because I just paid a few hundred dollars for something that I know is going to scare me to death. I get it. Like, I get it.
Yeah, it's valid. That's valid.
How much value is there in addressing something that wakes up and sits in the back of your mind all day long?
Yeah.
And you live in that place of fear. You cannot live underneath the fear. You have to live above the fear.
Right.
And that is what this course does, is it elevates you to above it because you understand it. And it's an invitation to look a threat directly in the face and say, I see you.
Yeah.
I know you're here and I know you're real. But I'm also here, very much here. And I have defined my place at the table because I have prepared the way to get there. And that's what this course does. And every woman that leaves says, this was hands down worth every penny. Mm-hmm. I will be back. This was amazing. I've grown so much today. I have so much to go home and unpack. So I'm in love with this course and the way that it changes women's lives.
Yeah, it's so literally, there are few experiences that we have that I would call life changing, but I would say this is definitely one of them. You can't see things the same way in all of the best ways. So I'm excited too. I cannot wait. Cannot wait.
This is going to be great. So this course will be happening in Nashville at the end of April. And then we have multiple other locations where this course takes place. You can go to fieldcraftsurvival.com, visit our training tab, and then you can go to the self-defense icon. And under there, you'll find what is called the personal security class. And the ones that are specific to women will say women only. There's also personal security classes that are run in the same locations as the women's course, and they are co-ed. So if you wanted to take this course with your spouse or your partner or your friend or your brother, and he's a male, and you wanted to do this course together, you could do the personal security one course. There's very much a lot of similarities. The women's course just gets more into the nuances of the mind and the way the woman's mind works and carry considerations for women. But you can see on the website, this course is run in Nashville. It's run in Phoenix. It's run in Aberdeen, North Carolina. It's run in Dallas, Fort Worth. And so there's multiple options for attending the course. Course space is limited just because we have to keep that number low in order to accommodate women to go through the scenarios and to give them the one-on-one instruction when it comes to the firearms. And so that's why the seats are always limited on those courses. But I think it's the perfect size for the experience and the intimate experience these women want. So the most that you'll find in a course at this moment is about 25 to 30 women. So, I love this course. If you have questions about this course or any of our trainings or any other training for women or family specifically, you can always reach out to us at Fieldcraft. I am more than happy to answer any of the questions relating to the women or family. You can email me at amber@fieldcraftsurvival.com. Amy, where can they find you?
I am on the Instagram. My handle is AY. Cordy, so C-O-R-D-Y, A-Y-C-O-R-D-Y is my Instagram. And I don't know, you'll see firearm related stuff and women's situational awareness stuff, but you'll also see my kids and my general life with our budding homestead and things like that. So you are welcome.
Your family vacations.
Yes, also that, yeah, all that.
to the Faroe Islands. How dreamy.
It really, yeah. We chose adventure. We did not choose leisure. I'll tell you what. We did. It was an amazing trip.
Got to get uncomfortable, right? Yeah. A little cold?
A little bit.
I love that. Our friends over at Exoverland ended up in the Faroe Islands at the end of their Nordic adventure. And so I was texting Rachel. I was like, my friend Amy just went there to the Faroe Islands and it's amazing. I want to go. And it just, it was so funny that both of you had been back to back and it just looks magical.
I think I follow her. And I think I was like, because then when you've been to a place like that, you're like, somebody else has been to a place like that. That's so amazing. I'm like, right. She doesn't know who I am, but I'm like messaging her in response to her stories. Like they got some amazing footage and it sounded amazing.
Yeah. Rochelle's amazing. But looked like the trip of a lifetime. I can't wait to see you in front of a field craft class. You'll be showing up, I'm sure, on our social media soon, teaching those ladies. This course is so powerful, and these women mean so much to me.
Yeah,
I've worked very hard to build a relationship with them through field craft and for them to feel as if they have a safe place here. And as if their fears are understood,
yes.
You know, I understand and I know you understand because we are women just like them and mothers just like many of them who feel those same fears and have had to work through them.
Yes.
And so there's so much credibility in that we understand, we get it, and we've learned how to mitigate those threats and navigate those circumstances. And so it's our job to turn around and help others do the same. And so, I'm honored that you've chosen to be part of this. And I think this women's community is such a beautiful, powerful thing that we've worked really hard on here at Fieldcraft, and bringing other women into the fold who feel the same way and who can help these women ride up and find their warrior is priceless.
Yeah. So well, I'm honored to be.
I think I speak for the whole team and Casey. Casey's so excited to have you.
I can't wait to chat with him, even just chatting with him over the phone initially. It'll be so good to meet him in person. And just, I'm honored to be able to carry that space and walk through the concerns. I talk to women all the time and their concerns they're always valid. The fears are always understood. But then, as you were saying, the value of overcoming that and what waits on the other side of that is a journey that I'm excited to walk through in Nashville. So thanks for asking.
For sure. It's the solution. I love that. Well, thank you for being with us here today. And thank you so much for agreeing to be part of our team for this course. I can't wait.
Absolutely. I can't either. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome.
All right, guys. We are so excited you made it to the end of this podcast. Thanks for being with us here today. I really hope this answered some of your questions about what that women's course looks like for field craft. It is a staple on the training side for women, and I think that that trickles down to families in so much of that capacity. So I look forward to talking about this more with you guys, and you can check out our other content related to women in the family on either Field Craft Survival's blogs, our YouTube channel, or even on our Instagram. And you can find me over at ms.amber.elle if you want all the family specifics and chicks multiple times a day. I won't apologize for it. Chickens are a big part of our life right now.
Anyway,
thank you guys for being thanks for being here with us today. And we look forward to talking to you again next episode.